Yes, the hymn writer is 100% correct that he is the Lord to meet our needs. No matter what need is, he is able and he is willing to meet our need. For our consideration this evening, as we continue on the parable, let's go to Gospel of Luke chapter 14. Starting from verse 7. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you." Notice verse 11. "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you because we have an exalted Christ in heaven who watches everything going on in this planet. Even, Lord, when people do not recognize your authority, your power, your presence, you still show mercy and kindness. Father, we thank you for reminding us this evening that exaltation or name recognition or acceptance or approval, it's all coming from you, not from human mind. And our Lord is the greatest example, and so we rejoice in that. Father, we pray that our time together with your word would edify and strengthen us this evening. For we ask with thanksgiving in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe an year ago, when Babu's brother Raju Kuniman was giving several lectures, you know, on how to study God's word. Remember, I hope some of you might remember that how to study God's word is so simple at the same time, we should not miss the target. What the author intends to say, that is what we should focus on. And even in this parable, the same thing applies, you know, that we have to see what the author intends to say for this passage. We have been dwelling on parables, I think, almost 6 months now, right? And we may probably have a few more months to go. And I think this is the longest study series that I could remember we have had. Maybe some of you might be thinking about something else. But this is some of the things that we have been studying over and over again through various scripture passages from different committed God's children, right from this pulpit. I just want to emphasize those things which Babu mentioned at the initial day, that what is the parable and how to study the parable. It's an ordinary, simple truth, but it is presented through an everyday event. And that is what the author usually do in a parable. And we should also remember that we should not miss what the author intends through that illustration. In this case, Lord Jesus is the author. And what is his intention in saying this parable? We have to go in a two-dimensional approach on here. First one is, what was the occasion when he was telling this parable? And second thing is what he brings out from this parable, what is at fault. And thirdly, was it evident in his ministry in this earth? And it is very true that whatever the Lord says, he himself put it into practice. So otherwise, we have a difficulty to follow that. But in this case, when the Lord says at the at that verse 11, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted, isn't it exactly the same that happened with the Lord Jesus himself? And let's see the parable itself at this time. Wedding or any kind of special event in the Jewish setup, we notice that guests are all important. They are all invited. But the key thing is that there are certain honorable guests as well, even within that invited guests. So what was happening as we read this passage, you might have felt that there was a rush to occupy the exalted place or the higher seats, even in that setup. I was just trying to find out, you know, how we can better understand, you know, that practice. What was the way how people were trying to get those better seats? I think our Leshman, he took time to find out where we can find out some of the pictures. And Leshman was gracious enough to help me. And I would request now Leshman to give those pictures that would better understand where a guest was noticed and by the host, and how he was elevated to a higher city. That's one of those events where the host is coming and exhorting an invited guest to come up, to go to a higher seat from where he was sitting. You might notice in here, it's a U-shaped seating arrangement. And the one who is closer to the host is the most attractive seat. There was competition some kind of an attempt, you know, by the invitees, you know, to occupy those seats closer to the host. That is where actually one of the reasons why this closer seats or higher seats were considered so valuable is because that is one of the evidences where the person occupying that seat is recognized in the community. He is probably seated in a higher position. He is recognized in the community and he is having some influence. So that's why there was a rush to occupy that seat. That's all. Okay. Now, what is interesting thing is that when this guests are invited, host will not say anything about where to sit, which seats are important, he will never say. But you notice that when the banquet place or wherever the seating places were filled up, the host will come around, look for the most honored guests he wanted to honor. And if he's not occupying that particular seat, what was going to happen is that he will go and ask the guest, you know, get up, go to the higher seats. And at the time, those who occupied the seats will be asked to vacate the seat and go to the lower seats. That's a kind of embarrassing, right? And that's what actually the story says here. So when you are invited to a feast, it says that go and sit the lowest place. And when the host come around and asking you, friend, go up higher, you will get double honor at the time. Let's see. Along with this quality, that is humbleness or humility, as it is mentioned here, what else that come with that humility? We notice that kindness and mercy are the two other godly qualities that come along with humility. You notice that, right? That is very evident even in the way how the Lord was dealing with this. Let's see chapter 13, few words prior to this one. This is a parable again, connected with the parable that we are reading now. I would like to connect that these two. We talked about the parable of the ambitious guest, or that's what we are talking now. But you know that verse 7 says, so he told a parable to those who were invited. Definitely there is something else happened prior to that. That is what we see in verse chapter 14, the first 6 words. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely, and behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers, Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. It is very evident that this Pharisee who invited Lord Jesus for that meal had a less than honorable intention inviting Lord Jesus, because Pharisees always had issue with Lord Jesus because he heals people on the Sabbath. And especially right in Gospel of Luke, you can see Lord Jesus healed more people on the Sabbath day. And this is one instance here that this was also on a Sabbath. And what happened while he was, they were watching him, whether he would heal him. The person afflicted by the sickness was dropsy, that is similar to what we have, formation of the fluid in the tissues of the body and in the body cavity. So when Lord Jesus saw him, first reaction was that he had compassion on him. He had a kindness on him. And then he asked this question to the Pharisee, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Lord Jesus was right in healing on the Sabbath, because even the Pharisees themselves do this thing, and that is verse 5. Then he answered them, saying, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out of the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. So in other words, humanitarian action was permitted even when there was a Sabbath. So acts of mercy and kindness was not forbidden on the Sabbath. But the problem is that Pharisees do not want to give an iota of humility, even to show kindness to the person who was having a severe health issue. And Lord Jesus showed compassion and kindness. Not only that, healing on that Sabbath day will bring more hatred from the Pharisees. He knew that. But he did not care. He had compassion and kindness. And he immediately healed. And then Lord is convicting them, which this everyday event, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? But they did not want to answer. After that, so he told a parable to those who were invited. That's where we read earlier. That seating of the guests. We can see that Lord Jesus not only spoke about kindness and humility and mercy, but he is the epitome of all these qualities that we are talking, that is mercy and kindness and patience. And humility, we can see that all the way through in the life of our Lord. No explanation is needed because see the book of Philippians with me, chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2. We see the humility of the Lord and also how he was exalted. Chapter 2, let this mind be also in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man. Humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. What a humility is this. Lord Jesus not only put what he was preaching about kindness and mercy, but look at the humility he displayed. He being the form of a, being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even to the death on the cross. If you look at all these passages and what he is coming to the conclusion here on verse 11, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's see Proverbs 25, verse 6 to 7. Proverbs 25. Verse 6, do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, come up here, then you should be put lower in the presence of the prince than whom your eyes have seen. For it is better that he say to you, come up here. Writer of Proverbs reminds us again the same message as we see in Gospel of Luke 14, verse 11. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I just would like to leave with that thought. Mercy and kindness and patience, it's all godly qualities. That's what actually we need to excel, even in our day-to-day life, but humility top it all. That he says, those who are humble, they will be exalted. And those who exalt themselves, ahead of God's plan will be counted. Mercy and kindness, those are qualities that we should aspire for. Lord Jesus is our greatest example in following those things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how much we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who showed mercy and kindness to a number of people, Lord, on a daily basis, even when he was threatened by the Pharisees in many ways. He did not consider, Lord, their threat, but rather he felt that much of love and compassion and kindness towards those who were aching, paining, who were deprived of many things in life, Lord. How those who were afflicted with the serious sickness that the Lord Jesus gave them, even at the threat from the Pharisees. Thank you, Father, for the great example our Lord followed. Thank you, Father, for reminding us that humility is a God-given blessing, Lord. It is a gift. Help us, Father, to be humble and also to be occupied in all walks of our life. With that thought in our life, we pray. For we ask with thanksgiving in our Lord Jesus' blessed name, we pray. Amen.